Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, how did you go with the little challenge that James Brian Smith set for us last week? We were talking about his book, The Good and Beautiful Community. We're doing a series on what true life-changing Christian community can actually look like. And he gave us this challenge, 2x4, it's called, spend 2 hours with God and do 4 acts of love, acts of kindness to other people in the week. How'd you go? 2x4. If you didn't go too well, you can always start again this week. But it's a nice practical challenge. 2x4, 2 hours with God, 4 acts of love in the week to come. He's got a new challenge for us today because, as last week we were talking about the church being the peculiar community. It's so full of love, it really is peculiar to the rest of the world. Tonight we're talking about the Christian community being a hopeful community. James is the author of The Good and Beautiful Community and is with us now. James, welcome again.
Thanks for having me back.
When we talk about the hopeful community, this word hope needs to be unpacked a little bit because I guess we've in many ways kind of cheapened it in our everyday use, don't we? We talk about, we hope we have good weather for the picnic, you know, I hope things might change. There's probably a thread of biblical truth to the idea, but the Christian understanding of hope is actually much broader and fuller than that.
Right, yeah. I mean, we've come to use it, and you described it well, in terms that is a little bit more like wishful thinking. Yeah. We don't have much confidence that it will happen. We certainly don't have a full assurance that it's going to happen, but we would like it to happen. And that does, as you put it, cheapen the word. Because the biblical idea, as I began studying it, was really a much more a certain kind of look at this idea that hope is the faith is the substance of things not seen. It's this kind of hope that is grounded in a kind of reality, and that's what struck me as I was looking at this word hope that Paul was essentially saying, particularly to the Colossians in Colossians 1, that faith and love spring from the hope that you have. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because we talk about faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But here's Paul saying that faith and love spring from hope, and that got me really researching this idea. And what I concluded was that this kind of hope is actually a certainty in a good future, not wishful thinking that it might happen. But when you are absolutely certain that, then that's when you have real hope, and that really changes everything.
I'm going to hold on to that. Hope is certainty in a good future. Now, the Christian story of hope, let's explore that then. What gives us that kind of certainty that, yes, everything really will be okay?
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about our faith, is that we're grounded in a larger narrative. I use the term meta-narrative to describe what it is that gives us that hope. And the Christian meta-narrative is that God, who is three in one, that the second member of the Trinity was born, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that God himself breathed our air and lived a life that we're incapable of living, and taught us the way into this with God life, the teachings of Jesus, and then gave himself up for death, the second part, that he was crucified on our behalf and reconciled the world unto God, so that in Christ God was no longer counting our sins, but the world had been fully forgiven and reconciled. But that's not all. It's kind of like those, you know, I don't know in Australia, but in the U.S. we have these commercials where they're selling something, say, but that's not all, there's more. there's more to the story even than those are great, but he also rose from the dead and therefore defeated death, so that those who follow him, he says in John, will not even taste death ourselves. And then he's ascended to the Father, basically has finished, the work is finished. He sits at the right hand of God. You sit when you're done with your work. So the finished work of Christ was to reconcile and redeem and regenerate humankind. And that's all based on what God has done, not what anything we've done. So the hope comes from the fact that it's not contingent. I have confidence and certainty in a good future because Christ did it, not me. And I didn't earn it, so I can't lose it in the sense of anything by my behavior. So this story is a solid rock that gives me that utter assurance that my life is now hidden with Christ in God. So therefore, I know that that's safe and secure, and now I can walk in confidence. No matter what I face, whatever trials I'm going through, and struggles and difficulties, and every day will give me about 50 or more, and you know, and some very serious and some lesser. But whatever those are, I keep my eyes fixed on this story, because I ultimately know that is my future.
Yes, Jesus' life, then his death for our sins, his resurrection in bodily, historical form, his going to heaven to be back with the Father, reconciling us to God the Father, and then also his return too. I mean, one day he's going to come back.
Exactly.
And he's going to finish the work that actually began a couple of thousand years ago, and which is now kind of making its way, you know, spreading kind of like, you know, brine through the meat almost, you know, spreading its way through the world. He'll come back, wrap it up, and then that will be, like you said, the certainty of that good future that really will be a land without tear and a land without pain, and a land without bloodshed and things like that.
Right. And if when I don't just sort of maybe have wishful thinking that I would like to see that happen, but I really believe that is the true story. And we have to decide, because we either believe that that is true or not true.
Mm.
And if we really believe that it's true, then that's going to impact our daily lives.
Indeed.
So either he did rise from the dead or he didn't. You know, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, our faith is in vain, Paul said. So this story, the one that I know changed my life, that's the rest of that story really changes the way I look at my life. It gives me joy.
Yes, we're talking about the Christian community as a hopeful community tonight with James Brian Smith. He's the author of The Good and Beautiful Community. We're doing this 7-week series on just what Christian church can actually be like. The life-giving, life-changing, life-transforming kind of community that so many of us actually long to have. This is Open House across the nation. All right, so we've talked about hope. We've talked about the story of hope, Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and his coming return. Now, how that hope starts to transform our lives now. It's not just about our life being transformed in the future, but right now. Give us some examples then as to how that story can become our own personal story and actually change us in history right now.
Well, we're talking here about a community, okay, and we're made up of individuals, but as a community, this is our story. And so when we gather together and tell that story, we're drawing people into this way of life. And I'll tell you what, in my world, and I travel to a lot of churches, I simply don't hear it. I hear messages that are sort of like, God's good, you're bad, shape up, or try harder. Or I hear messages of maybe a self-help techniques to be a better whatever, parent, spouse, or something. It really frustrates me, because I don't feel that I'm walking into a place that says, guess what, we have the greatest news the world has ever heard. And if we could just rally around that story and develop that kind of hope, it changes everything. Because, as you said, faith and love spring from the hope. So because I'm certain of that good future, now I'm going to look at you differently, and I'm going to respond to you differently. I'm going to have confidence. That's what faith is. It's confidence. And love, which is to will the good of another person.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can actively will your good. I'm not so worried about myself. I'm okay. I'm safe. And so now I have the capacity to stretch out and actually do an act of kindness for another person. So that's why I think our communities can become so different. We can express love to each other, because we're in, I like the phrase, I'm in a strong place. And when you're in a strong place, you're able to help another person, you know. And when you're flying on the airline, they have that spiel about, in case of an emergency and there's a loss of oxygen, a mask will drop. If you're traveling with a small child, put your mask on first, which is counterintuitive, because we think, well, wait a minute, I should take care of the child. But the wisdom is there, if I don't take care of myself, I'm unable to help someone else. And so in the Christian life, a person who has this hope grounded, they're in a strong place and they're able to help other people,
mm-hmm.
and people are dying to be helped.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it. You're in a strong place because, again, this is a story of hope. It's a certain future. It's a certainty of a good future. And so you're in a strong place. You know how it's all going to turn out. Maybe the full details you don't know yet, but you know that the war is going to be won on the side of good. God is going to bring it all to completion. It's going to be beautiful in the end. You're in a strong place. Now you can actually serve others. That kind of challenges us a little bit because your culture and my culture, we tend to be somewhat self-focused and somewhat focused on self-fulfillment too. It's often very much about my fulfillment, my career, my well-being. It certainly challenges, I guess, the orientation of a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's the message that we hear is defining self-esteem, and that begs the question, based on what? What I mean, I remember when I was in college, there was a guy who lived next door to me, and he played these self-help tapes through the night. The idea was that subliminally, it would register while he sleeps.
Yeah.
And they were things like, you're really smart, you're really handsome, you can do all these things. And this was a really troubled guy, a guy who didn't believe those things. That's why he was searching for that. But, you know, it occurred to me, I got up in the middle of the night to walk down the hall, and I heard that. That's why I stood there and listened. I was like, what is... But what I thought was, that's a vacuous kind of hope, because, I mean, based on what? You know, that I am somehow, you know, worthy? So our culture doesn't have an answer to that. We know that we see the felt need that we are self-esteem and all this sort of... We have this inner pain. But they don't have the answer, because the answer is rooted in this larger story. It's outside of you. It's not inside of me to tell myself I'm great, I'm smart, I'm whatever. It's when I latch on to this meta-narrative and my life is grafted into this larger story, now I see myself as I should, and that pain goes away.
Hmm. Now, what about the person listening, though, who just does not feel hopeful, even though they might be a person of faith? They're wrestling with some sort of chronic illness, or they're consumed by the fact that they still haven't found work after 4 months, or whatever it might be. There might be some sort of massive problem, or maybe a number of massive problems in their lives, and they're struggling to be able to be that hopeful person to give out. I mean, how does this story actually change them in this present moment?
Yeah, well, I love Colossians 3, where it says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Where Christ is, see at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. I think what we have to do is look beyond our current circumstances to the larger picture. Because even if we're wrestling with an illness or a loss, we have to remember that God gets the last word, and God is good. And so we come to a place where we say, I'm not going to look at my situation and let that determine my condition. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at this larger situation. You know, end the story. That's when he says, set your minds and hearts on these things. Where Christ is, that's where Christ is, your life will appear, and you'll appear with him in glory. Know that, and that has an impact on your current situation. I do want to be clear that I'm not one of those that say you should never grieve or be sad.
Yes.
I love when Paul tells the Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, because we don't grieve like those who have no hope.
Hmm.
That's a great verse, because what he's saying is, look, we do grieve.
Hmm.
But we grieve with hope. I buried a daughter. We had a child die at the age of two, and you know, that's just not supposed to happen. But I learned what Paul meant. You know, we grieve with hope because we realize that, you know, in my case, I'm going to see her again.
Yes.
In fact, I've got a long time with her. The Christian story says when we've been there 10,000 years. So I have that hope that I'll see her. And so when my wife and I, she got pregnant after that child had passed, we had a little girl, and the woman who was doing her sonogram looked at us and said, do you have a name? And at the same time, my wife and I said, Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we named our little girl. She's 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because every day I pick her up from elementary school, I leave my work to pick her up, and people say, hey, where are you going, Jim? And I say, I'm going to go get Hope. which is great, and I smile
Lovely.
Every time I say it, because Lovely. It's like, you know, it's on two levels. On the literal level, I'm getting my daughter Hope, but I also every day am getting hope.
Indeed, a modern life parable in so many ways. This is Open House right across the nation. James Brian Smith, the author of The Good and Beautiful Community, is with us. We're talking about this quality of community that can actually taste. We're talking about the hopeful community today. All right, well, you gave us a bit of a challenge last week. The challenge this week is to actually share that hope with other people. Now, give us some tips as to how that can be done, particularly for the timid, particularly for the non-public speakers, as to how this can actually be done to share that hope with others, because we've already talked about we're in the midst of a very hungry community, no matter where we are, who wants to kind of taste this hope.
Yeah, well, we can't give what we don't have. So, but if we do have some hope, even if it's, you know, not fully, you know, 100%, a focus of our lives and so forth, The truth is that people are going to come along who lack any hope, and they're going to say, you know, why do you have that hope? And I love that verse in 1 Peter where it says, you know, be able to give a reason for the hope that you have. And I like how he puts that. You know, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have, 10 steps to leading someone into all truth. But we have to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have, which to me means just telling our story and saying, you know, this is how I feel. And you know, that's usually the most powerful witness that we give, is just out of our own experience, even if it's out of brokenness or, you know, we don't have the answers. But this is my story. And then it says at the end of that verse, and do it with gentleness. And I think that's important, because a lot of people just sort of ambush others with their religion, and that's never really helpful. I think we just give a reason for the hope that we have in gentleness and say, this is my story. And people usually, that's what they respond to.
This is what happened when Jesus touched my life. And here you go. Think it through. Here's some other resources. Here's a Bible if you need it to actually find out a little bit more about it. Now, practically then, where might we start to have those opportunities to share that?
Well, I often think about just sort of praying and saying, you know, God, bring somebody into my world today that might be interested in this message, and then I'll just keep my eyes open. Certainly, you know, our people that we interact with a lot are likely candidates for that. And that's a prayer that almost always gets answered pretty quick.
All right. Next week, we'll talk about the serving community. Looking forward to it. We'll talk to you in 7 days' time.
Wonderful.
We've talked about the peculiar community. Tonight, the hopeful community. Next week, the serving community. We're going to be talking about the Christ-centered, reconciling community, the encouraging community, the generous community, the worshiping community. It's all part of our series on the good and beautiful community, which is the title of James Brian Smith's book.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.